Revelations chapter 21 and Revelations 22 describes heaven, the blessed hope, heaven. Last week we had a wonderful service last Wednesday, and you know we taught about that the city, the New Jerusalem. Explain to you in great depth what the New Jerusalem will look like. It will be hovering from above the earth. Went into great detail. Listen to me. There's a promise in the book of Revelation, and I take that promise extremely serious. Blessed is he who reads and understands the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he. The book of Revelation promises a blessing to all of those of you that have been coming week after week. The book of Revelation and the prophecies that were foretold, when we tie them into prophecy, to Revelations, to the book of Daniel, when we tie them in, we now begin to look at the eternal future. We don't live for the now, we live for the hereafter. And when people live for the hereafter, they're no longer bound by the nonsense this world throws at us. We will spend,
church,
an eternity in heaven. What will we be doing? We're not going to be flying on a cloud. There is a government. There is a city, there is a place that we will live in for eternity all the days of our lives, and the entrance to that kingdom is dependent on what we did here. When you have your mind focused on eternity, you understand why we're here. Let me just take you back for just a moment. Because we're going to get here into Revelations chapter 22, and we're going to speak about heaven. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and what?
Breathed.
Before Adam was a spirit being, the Holy Spirit had to breathe into Adam. Before you can ever know God, that same breath has to fill you. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then what did he do in verse 8? The Lord God planted a eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Where did he put him? In the garden of
Eden.
And what is Eden? A spot for the moment, a delightful place where the presence of God dwells. Amen?
Amen.
Folks, that's heaven. That's heaven. And out of the ground, verse 9, the Lord God made every tree grow. Come on, read this. That is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Adam and Eve, when they got born again, ate. And what did they eat from after the period? They ate from the tree of life. They ate from the tree of life, which was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Stay with me. Don't miss this. The first man and woman, Adam, were placed in a garden. And if they ate from the tree of life, they lived forever. They lived forever. They ate from the tree of life, and they lived forever. But God put choice in the garden. He put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Please stay with me, because I tell you, If you got to get this, because this something will snap inside. Every single one of us is given choice. Every one of us. And if we eat from the tree of life, which is Which is who? Uh-huh. If we eat from him, because he is the word of God. And if we eat from him, the bread of life. Amen. Are you with me? We are promised eternal life. In the garden, God placed the tree of life. If Adam ate from the tree of life, he lived forever. Jesus is the tree. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He wasn't created. He always was. He always is and always will be. And if you eat from him, if you sup with him, if you feast on him, you'll live forever. But in the garden of life, we all are faced with another choice. Right? We all have two trees in our lives. Choose good, choose evil. So, in Revelations chapter 22 and 21, we're talking about heaven. Jesus became the second Adam. He fixed all the mess. Listen to me. He fixed all the mess that Adam created and started to become your second Adam so that he could give you entryway into heaven and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if you eat from the tree of Jesus, you'll live forever. Can I hear a big fat amen?
Amen.
Having set that stage, let's go to Revelations 22. We are now in heaven. This is heaven, 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 church. This is where God has promised us. He said, in my house are many mansions. If it wasn't true, why would I have told you that? In Revelations chapter 22, it talks about heaven. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear and crystal, proceeding out of the throne and of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb?
Jesus.
Who's the Lamb?
Jesus.
Talking about heaven here. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of this river, was the tree of
life.
The tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the health or healing of the nations. When we go to heaven in our new glorified bodies, we eat and drink, church. Just as Jesus did. When Jesus died and rose out of that grave, he came back to his disciples and showed them that he ate. In heaven, we eat. In heaven, we sing. In heaven, we dance. In heaven, we enjoy each other's company. In heaven, there's streets of gold. In heaven, there's people playing musical instruments. But the beautiful thing about it in heaven is that there is no S-U-N, sun. Jesus is the illumination and the light of that city. In this city, it says there's the tree of life. And on this tree bears 12 manner of fruit for the health of the nations. Every time you pluck a leaf off that tree and you eat it, you live forever. Luke chapter 24, verse 41. Look at 24:41. And while they yet believed not for joy, this is right after the Lord had risen from the dead, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Jesus comes to the disciples after he had died and come out of that tomb. He said, is there any meat? And he gave them a piece of broiled fish. Actually, he wanted a fish sandwich. Amen? And he loved honey. Do you love honey?
Yeah.
Jesus loved honey. He took a broiled fish, made sure it was cooked just right, and he took a honeycomb and went like this. And he was in a glorified body. Look at me. In our eternal future in heaven, we are not going to be floating on clouds. We will be allowed to eat of the tree of life that was in that garden where Adam and Eve screwed up. And no longer will that choice need to be made. Because we made that choice here on earth. We chose the tree of life. And when we sinned on this earth, and we all do, and we all will, because of his blood, past, present, and futures, sin no longer has dominion over me. Can I hear a big fat amen?
Amen.
How about one more?
Amen.
This is the same tree that Adam and Eve ate from, which made them to live forever. They would have lived forever and ever and ever and ever. This tree is not evil, the tree of knowledge. But the tree of knowledge, it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. They made the wrong choice. Eating from Jesus makes us live forever. Say that. Say eating.
Eating
from Jesus
makes us live forever.
It is so incredible. Verse 3, Revelations 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Verse 4, this is glorious. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be written on their foreheads. You're going to get a tattoo. We will look at Jesus face to face. We will see the nail scars in his wrists and in his feet and in his side. And as soon as we look at him, his name will be written, Jesus, right on our foreheads. Forever his, branded by the Son of God. When we look at him and behold him, we will be like him. I said, we will be like him. I said, we will be like him. Listen, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He died. You will die. He rose. You will rise. He rose in a glorified body. You will rise in a glorified body. He ate. You'll eat. He sings. You'll sing.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to take a look at something here. Take a look at 1 John. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, are you there?
Yes.
Beloved, come on, read it with
Beloved.
We are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. Amen? It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Amen. He died, you die. He rose, you rise. He eats, you eat. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't we have our eyes fixed on heaven so much? We're going to be like him. We're going to see him. We're going to see him. And as soon as we behold him, we'll be like him. And his name will be stamped on our forehead. One day we'll have his name stamped on our foreheads. One day the one who we love and the one who we serve, the one that we have devoted our lives to, the one that we know, the one that has filled us, the one who's possessed us, the one who loves us forevermore, forevermore, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and evermore. And there is no end. And we'll know each other. And we'll be with each other. And we'll be talking about what it was like on this earth and how we endured and how we made it through together. It's called the good fight of faith. We appear just like him. When we see him, we will stand before him in our glorified bodies. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 5 of Revelation 22. There'll be no more night there. Where is there? Where is there?
Heaven.
Yeah. There'll be no more night there, and you won't need a candle. You won't need a flashlight. You won't need batteries. Neither light of the sun. Won't need the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and evermore. Verse 6, and he said, these sayings are faithful and true. He says, you can take them to the bank.
Amen.
And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. That word quickly means rapid successions. He says, in the end times, he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of this prophecy of this book. In other words, blessed is he that doesn't twist them. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. What did he tell the angel? He worshiped him. He worshiped an angel. And what did the angel say? Get back on your feet, you knucklehead. We don't worship Mary. Some of these figures in the Bible, they're wonderful people. Mary is a wonderful person. She did a wonderful thing. But she's not to be worshiped, nor is an angel to be worshiped. That's why this scripture is so powerful. The angel said, get off your feet and stop acting like an idiot. Amen? I don't think idiot's in there, though. Okay. Verse 10. And this is powerful. Verse 10. Look at this. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is. The time is now at hand. I said the time now is at hand. Now keep your finger there, and I want to show you something when the time was not at hand. Take a look at Daniel 12:4. Keep your finger there, though, in Revelation 22. In Daniel chapter 12:4, rather, he says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal this book, even to the time of the end. What was the time of the end? Look at after the semicolon. The time of the end was what? The time of the end was when many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge has increased. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of everything is available like it was never available before. 15 years ago, if I said Google, you thought I would tickle you or something like that. Let me Google you, right? But now Google means an entirely different thing. Google is probably the most common name, well-known name in the world, the information highway. So Daniel says, when you see knowledge increase and people going to and fro, knowledge will increase. Amen?
Amen.
We're there, church. We're there. The Lord is coming very soon, and we're going home. Amen?
Amen.
We're going home. Daniel was told, shut this book. Shut this book. Seal it. Well, let's take a look in Revelation 22 and see when it was unsealed. It was unsealed in Revelations. For the time is at hand. That word hand means kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, means this is the correct season. This is the correct time. This is the moment. This is the season. This is the time. And unseal that book. Verse number 11 of Revelation 22. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. He is the tree of life, and the reward is not on earthly things. He is the reward. He says, the reward is with me. That's what he says here. My reward is with me. He says, I am your reward to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 13. I am the Alpha. Come on, read it. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the first, and I am the last. This young man sitting with me on the airplane next to me, I said in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus said, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end. I once was and I died and I lived again. I said, God died? Did God die? Did God die? He's God, he's the Alpha, the Omega, and God died in his humanity so that you could live in his divinity. Amen?
Amen.
He voluntarily gave his life for you. He could have stopped that crucifixion with the snap of a finger. He says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end, I'm the first and I'm the last. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the... There we go. There it is, right there. The tree of life. Adam and Eve had the right to the tree of life, but they blew it because they chose something else other than the tree of life. Christians blow it because they choose other than Jesus, the tree of life, and sin will destroy you. But blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to this tree of life. That same tree that was in Eden, the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, is the same tree that you and I will be given right to eat from. And may enter in through the gates of the city. The exact same tree that Adam and Eve ate from thousands of years ago will be the same tree. And guess what's in the midst of that tree is the rivers of living waters. Do you know that right now, those living waters are flowing right now? Do you know that your relatives, your friends, your relatives gone before you, do you know they're drinking from that river right now? Verse 15, for without Jesus, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Verse 16, I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root. Come on, come on, read this. I am the root and the offspring of David, and I am the bright and morning star. He is the offspring of the lineage of the root of David. In his humanity, he is the Son of God in his divinity. He is the root and offspring of David in humanity. He is the Son of the living God in his divinity, and no man could ever claim that. We not only are possessed with his divinity, but he has compassion on our humanity. Next verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. How many of you people have drank water before from a cup and you got thirsty again? With Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. When you serve Jesus Christ on this earth, you will never be thirsty again. You'll never be thirsty for the world again. Verse 17 says this, and the Spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever, that's a matter of will, whosoever, are you a whosoever? Let him take of the water of life freely. Come to me, he says. Come to me. Believe in me. I'm urging you. Trust me. Love me. Serve me. Obey me. And you will drink of the water of life freely. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So when people say, once saved, always saved, amen, be careful. It says right here that a name can be removed from the book of life. I don't want my name removed. Don't mess with the word of God. God says what he says and means what he means. And every word is yes and amen, every dot and tittle. Amen? Verse 20, he which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. That word quickly, again, look at me, does not mean quickly like I'm coming in 10 minutes. He says, when you see events happening in this world in rapid succession, earthquakes, hurricanes, disasters, immorality, when you see them piled on top of each other, I cannot keep track of what's going on TV. I can't even remember it because things are happening so fast. He says, when you see things happening quickly, or in the Greek word means rapidly, when you see things happening in rapid succession, he says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yeah. All right, are you ready for the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Revelation? Probably one of the most significant Bible verses in the entire Bible. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May his grace be with you. Let me just finish up by saying this. His grace be with you. Why? Why does he finish it off? He started in the law in Genesis 1. And he finishes in grace in Revelation 22. Amen? Right? He gave Adam and Eve one commandment. Just one. He didn't say you can't steal, you can't cheat, you can't lie. He says, just don't eat that fruit. And he couldn't keep just the one commandment. He started with the law. He finishes with grace. Do you have that city?